welcome to a new episode of Be a Fan Podcast. We're taking a little break from talking about what happened during this past weekend. Super Bowl kind of got in the way of people watching what happened, but we know that two of our teams aren't going to Brazil. But for today, I have an amazing special guest to tell us a little bit about her story, how she got involved with esports, and you probably all know her better than I do. But welcome, Basil, to the show. Absolutely. And it's awesome to see the works that you've been doing. I've been tracking throughout the time that, you know, you promote the various different things that on social media. But today, I just want to hear your story and kind of like how you, get connected with esports. It's really a fun thing to learn about different people. So I'll start with just, you know, a simple question. How did your name Basil came to be?
So the name is kind of not a long story, but like kind of cringe one from middle school. I used to go by a bunch of like random different names back in the day. Mm-hmm. And when I went to, I think it was either middle school or high school, I basically had a crush on some random guy in my class, and I don't know if this is like still a thing, but at that time you would like give someone like a code name, you know, so you could talk about them around them without them knowing. And I asked my friend for a name for a plant, and she said Basil, and I was like, okay, sure, that works, you know. TLDR, that never worked out, whatever. I know, so tragic. I confessed my love, he completely rejected me. Fast forward to that summer, I think I had first gotten introduced to like Discord and just kind of gaming in general, and I got invited to Discord. And at this time, when you first join Discord, it says like there was a pop-up that says like pick a nickname, you know. And I thought it worked like either Skype or TeamSpeak, I think, where you could do like a one-time name, I think was the thing. Yeah, so I just thought it was a one-time thing, and I was like, dude, what do I name myself? I don't want to put, like, my actual name. And I was like, you know, Basil is still a cute name. I still kind of like it. So I'll just use this for this one-time thing. And then I realized it wasn't a one-time thing. Yeah, but I've liked the name. It's, like, pretty unique. And then, obviously, the reason why sometimes you'll see me with, like, Basil Leaf or Basil Leafs, you know, but they always have two eyes, is literally just because Basil is taken everywhere. Oh. So yeah,
that is awesome. No, that's a, you know, a cute story behind that, but also, you know, how it got stuck was it's very interesting. But now it's a very iconic name. I don't know anyone who don't know who Basil is. it's awesome to see you getting the recognitions. And out of everything, you know, why esports? What brought you here?
So I was always like kind of into games growing up, but it was very limited to either like Flash games or like Nintendo games. You know, I used to play a lot of Pokemon and like Mario. And I think I started exploring more multiplayer games once I kind of grew up a little bit. I started off playing like, I don't know if you know what Pop Tropica is.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
So Pop Tropica was like a Flash game that I could play every time when I was in like elementary school, when you had like computer time, you know. So honestly, that was like one of my first introductions to games.
That's awesome.
And then I started playing this multiplayer game called Animal Jam that was like my National Geographic. Yes. So my parents let me play it, you know.
Yeah, it's educational, I promise.
True, educational. It was the first game I actually spent money on. I was actually a whale in this game. I spent all my allowance money on this game. Aside from that, I think I got introduced to like League as my first actual game that I really committed to, because I had some friends in high school. I was in a coding class and they were like, hey, like, we play this game called League, you should check it out. And I was like, you know what, sure, why not. And I remember my first time playing it, I really didn't like it. I forgot why, too, I didn't like it. But I just, like, didn't really have fun. So I uninstalled the game and I didn't play it for a while. And then I don't remember when. I think this was around when, like, Zoe first came out is when I think I reinstalled League. And this is also around the time that Worlds was happening, too, I believe.
Yes.
Or it had just passed, something like that. So I don't know. I just like slowly start falling into like, oh, I kind of enjoy playing the game. I kind of enjoy the atmosphere. I really enjoyed watching Worlds, even from like someone who had never experienced it before. So I just like watch it on Twitch. And I think from then, I just like started drawing fan art of League, which slowly led into like, oh, let me see what pro players I can follow, you know? And I think at that time, I was playing a lot of mid support ADC. So the pro players I attached to very quickly and like the easiest were obviously Bjergsen, Double Lift. And then for support, I either watch a lot of Biofrost or Afro.
Afro, those are the two,
The goats. So I don't know. Like after that point, I kind of just kept following down the esports like pipeline. I started interacting with like more people from like the League community. I started drawing just a lot of fan art of pro players or their interactions or like teams, you know. Yeah, that's probably how I like slowly started getting ingrained in esports.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, it's so the Worlds that you watched and that drew you in, and you know, what did you remember about that year, I guess, and what was so, what stood out to you?
So I can't fully remember it because I definitely was watching it in a perspective of like, I kind of have no idea what's going on, you know, this is just like super cool and competitive.
Right.
But I want to say my first world experience, like I actually can remember was during, was when KDA first came out.
Oh yeah.
That was the world I can like actually remember. And I remember being like, wait, this is literally the coolest thing ever. Because I was also a big like K-pop head back in the day. Not anymore, but at that time I was like, wow, this is such a cool collab. And that was probably the first time where I was like, wait, like this game is so cool. I want to like keep watching, you know?
Yeah. They certainly knew how to like connect with their fan base. That was a unique like, what do you call it? Not a collaboration, but a mashup. Yeah, a crossover. That's the word. Very good. Thank you. And, you know, I liked it. I mean, it was really unique in that aspect, but I'm glad that, you know, it drew a crowd. So you've been playing then with friends, by yourself? Like, how does that?
So at the time, I think I had like a very small group of friends that I would play with. But I think everyone goes through that phase where they're like, you know, oh, I have to be good at this game. So you get like a little toxic or like, I don't know. I definitely went through a phase of like, God, I need to get good at this game. So like every small mistake would piss me off in like a normal game, you know?
Yeah.
And I fully remember at some point when I was starting to learn the game, I accidentally picked Nidalee top. And obviously, like, if you're a level 10 player, you have no idea what's going on, you pick Nidalee, and she has, like, two forms, it's so confusing, and I fully remember I ran it down into this, like, Garen top lane, you know? And someone, like, I don't even think they flamed me that hard, they, like, slightly flamed me, and I got so insecure that I went to only play ARAMs. I basically was an ARAM only, for, like, I don't know, and for how long did it take you to level up to level 30? Basically, like, whatever amount of time I took to play
League. Just ARAM all the way up to level
30. Yeah, I would only play ARAM because I felt less insecure. So that was my introduction to the game.
Look, I don't blame you. That is probably the best way. You just want to kill. You want to have your, you know, abilities. And you don't want to think about all these different, like, wave management.
I mean, it's so confusing back in the day, you know, when you first learn. I just, like, couldn't understand what was going on. All I knew was this Garen was killing me, and I was inting.
Man, that brought me also to a story I share. I mean, Zoe was, like you mentioned, Zoe, I was playing a... what do you call those, like, kind of like a low budget LCS,
if
you're like, familiar. And then, you know, we were downtown at the draft, and I couldn't decide what to pick. They started to pick Zoe for me. I got destroyed, and ever since then I just spammed and got really good at her. So
yeah, it's like motivational.
I don't know what this game does to me. I could have easily just quit, right? But
true it's the hunger, you know. Not everyone has that.
Yes. And out of all the games, this one is still the one that draws me back after all these years. I don't want to know what the power has over me, but it certainly, it feels like similar. It has some draw for you. And so at what point then did you make that step to be more than just a fan, like an audience watcher, that you become more involved and really, you know, get you to where you are today?
So I think at first I kind of, I don't know, like esports had always been like super interesting to me. So whenever I had the opportunity to like go watch it, I take that opportunity, you know? And I think it started when I started watching LCS, I want to say. I forgot why I started watching. I mean, it's probably just because like a regional thing, you know, where I was like, oh, League of Legends is like in my area. Let me go watch this. But I grew up in the Bay Area. So kind of like it's a very like heavy, like, you know, Asian community. So stuff like gaming is pretty popular, pretty normal. So I was definitely in a comfortable space to pick up games and whatnot. But I think I decided to get more involved when I actually figured out like what my favorite team was, you know. And I would say I got pretty lucky. I kind of was able to watch the final bits of like what people considered like prime, like LCS, you know, where it was the TL like back to back to back to back wins. Yes. You know, that was basically when I started following specifically the LCS, and I became like super hooked. I became a super big TL fan, which is really funny. Because like, yeah, I was just such a big Team Liquid fan. I love their roster. I would draw so much fan art. I would go to like LCS games whenever I could over the summers. So Summer Split was mainly when I would go watch. And I think because of that, I slowly became friends with people in the scene, you know. A lot of my friends at that time were like, I think I became friends with Tactical and stuff.
Wow.
And so it was like Tactical, Fudge, at that time, Tenacity, you know, just like people that I was able to become friends with. And I'd be like, hey, can I get a ticket to go to LCS if your team has an extra one, you know?
What? So they seem very approachable back then, I'm guessing.
I think it's because I was just like drawing so much fan art, and I'd interact on like Twitter, you know. I was just like such a big fan. So I think that's how I like just got to know people, and then eventually kind of bridged off to like getting to know staff, you know. I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, because I was such a big Team Liquid fan, I kind of just like hovered around the Team Liquid booth a lot. So I got to know a lot of people there. I became friends with Ben, who was our team manager, and I think he does like their content stuff now. So I think that's probably how I was able to bridge from just like casual viewer to like actively being more involved in the community, you know.
So just showing up, being involved, you know, letting people know who you are. And wow, that evolved pretty quick.
Yeah, true.
That's awesome. And so that's, I hope our listeners get to hear this. Show up. They're friendly people. They're not these, like, you know, people that won't take their time to get to know you or hang out and just more involved. So that's awesome. And you said you're from the Bay Area. So what's the travel, the commute to the studio?
Yeah, so I think, so right now I actually do live in Los Angeles, so it's a lot easier. But I think at that time it's about a 1 hour flight, so I would take an hour flight, which is like really nice actually. I take an hour flight, I just like stay with friends, and I would stay in LA for a month or a couple of months, so I could basically finish out the season, you know. So I got to watch LCS every week that they allowed me to. It was pretty hype.
Oh man, if that's not true fandom, people, I don't know what is. A flight staying for like, you know, a whole split.
That was a big fan, yeah.
Awesome. And really getting to talk to these players too, you interact with them, that must have been, I don't know, what was your experience like? For me, I'm just imagining this is like, wow, it's celebrity level, and I don't know how to talk to these people.
Yeah, I think at the very beginning, I was super, super nervous, which is like totally normal. And I don't think that's something I've been able to get over until recently, because you have to realize that like these players are very much just like as awkward as you are, you know, like we're all just like awkward gamers. The only difference is they're a little better than us, you know, and they get paid. Just a little bit. But I think that like mentality helps, because when you think of yourself as a person, the idea that you have like fans or followers or people that are just like rooting for you or supporting you will always make you feel like what's it called? Like happy, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So in that same way, like when you fans show them like appreciation or stuff, it really does make their day. And I think that kind of like humanizes them more. Yeah.
I think that's important to, for people to hear. Like, it's any way we can show support, they do it, receive it, and they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. And so you're getting heavy into TL, and I don't blame you, because that's what was around the time that I started watching. It was, you know, they went on a streak. They were winning everything. They even, like, beat IG at MSI.
Yeah, they were so good. It was crazy.
You know, breaking that that stereotype that we can't have success in international. Hey, mm-hmm. they were one of the teams that actually went, you know, above and beyond expectations. And mm-hmm. so walk me through that, because now people know you as more connected to Fly. So where did that happen?
Yeah, so the bridge is kind of funny. I fully remember back when I was a Team Liquid stan that I still thought FlyQuest jerseys at the time were better. And I remember maybe to my friends or something being like, dang, I would really buy a FlyQuest jersey if they weren't so bad. Because I think at this time, FlyQuest was like, yeah, pretty bad. Like, they were actually bad, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they're placed like eighth constantly. I'm like, man, I can't support this team. They just suck. No hate to any of the players. They're like super sweet. But yeah, and then I think I started becoming more of a FlyQuest fan when Prince was introduced to the roster. Mm-hmm. It was like the Prince Vikla roster. I don't know. I just like was like, wait, this player is so cool. It's a new ADC for me to follow, because I think Doublelift was like, he had already swapped teams. I think maybe he was at 100 Thieves at this point.
Let me think. Yeah, this was the year the when they brought in Prince Vikla. They were hyped for Fly, and 100 Thieves was just rebuilding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was loosely following 100 Thieves, loosely following Cloud9. Basically, once that TL roster disbanded, I just became like a loose fan of everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. I think I actually attached to C9 slightly at this time, because I like their mm-hmm. roster too, because I thought Berserker was really good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once Prince got introduced to the FlyQuest roster, I don't know, I just like went back to my whole like making fan art stuff. So I would make a lot of fan art of Prince, or like when Prince and Doublelift swapped jerseys, I drew that, you know? Because I thought it was like a cool interaction between two players I really liked. And once, obviously, Prince is on that roster, I was like, wait, let me watch this guy play just a little more, because I think this guy's pretty cool. And the rest of the FlyQuest roster at this time, too, was pretty solid. I mean, they had like, they had Impact, right?
Yes.
I forgot who the jungler was.
It was Spica.
Impact, Spica, you know, all these people that I thought were like super, super cool. So it was a lot easier for me to follow this team and support them. And I think that's what got me on the radar of FlyQuest, as like, hey, this is a small content creator that is pretty invested in League, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah.
That was an exciting time. I remember my friends at the Flight Check podcast group. They were ready. They were ready for this, the long for FlyQuest to be relevant.
Yeah.
All right. So, who spotted you? Did you introduce yourself to the team? Like, how, you know, where is that connection?
So I think it was a slow start. Basically, I was just making so much fan art for FlyQuest, I think, mm-hmm. or like interacting with them mm-hmm. or whatnot, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was basically just like very much outwardly showing my support for the team mm-hmm. that. It first started as I got to meet Prince, and I thought that was really cool. Huh. They gave me like a Prince photo card or something. Like, they took a Polaroid of him, had him sign it, and gave it to me. That was like the first gift I got from an org, I think.
Nice.
So I was like, no way, this is like so cool. And so I cherished that a lot. And then I got reached out to by Papa Smithy.
Oh.
And at first started off as a, hey, do you want a jersey with your name on? Obviously, yeah. I was like, that's so cool. And then it led to like a, hey, we actually are like considering you for this thing, this like creative like program or whatever, you know. It's basically what Metamorphosis is now or was. And I was like, oh, sure, I'm super interested. So that was like my start of talking to FlyQuest about working with them.
Wow. And did you know, like, had they thought about this or had this project in a while and then invited you in, or were you part of that development where you and Tsunami and Nova came together?
I think I at first was onboarded as like an individual content creator, and mm-hmm. the whole metamorphosis stuff was a passion project from like the more creative side mm-hmm. of FlyQuest. So that wasn't something that like I worked on.
Okay. Yeah. So, but that really speaks to Papa Smithy's amazing ability to spot talent, and you know, really give you all another way to support the team and expand it. And this is where I saw a really big boom for FlyQuest, where they really connected with the fans. They, you know, they put you know, a lot of you know, care and effort into connecting. And so, you know, it's really great to see. It's sort of a give back, you know, to the fans, I think. And you know, it's been continuing to look great. The jerseys are great, the releases are great, and you are continuing with your own projects as well, because nobody can think about Basil without thinking about cats. So you know, walk me through, like, what's the story behind there?
So the story for the cat stuff is not anything too crazy, actually. I've always liked cats growing up. I thought they were super cute. And you know, I've been an artist for a really long time. And originally I was in college. It's like I'm pretty open about it, but I'm a college dropout. And at that time that I had first dropped out, I became kind of depressed and I didn't really know what to do. I didn't have a lot of motivation for art or just like anything really. So I kind of just started drawing cats because it was like the most easy thing for me to draw. It made me happy, you know? And I think the first big boom I had with the cats was there's these kind of like fruit cats are pretty popular online. They're a little pixelated. And so I was like, oh, let me draw my own versions of these in MS Paint because I like using MS Paint. And people really, really like them. So they kind of just blew up like that. And I was like, sure, like, I enjoy drawing these cats. I'll keep doing it.
No, they're so cute. And today you see your matcha cat.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. I'm on the grind.
You're releasing these regularly and I get to enjoy them. You know, you've also had other projects too. I have one of your cats. I think it's a limited edition. You're not releasing any more of those plush, are you?
No, I did not. You have one? That's crazy.
Yes.
Insane.
Just letting you know, folks, you miss your opportunity, but if future things open up, don't miss that chance.
Soon. Yes. There's a work in progress right now.
Ooh, a little hint here. But yes, this has been, you know, just fun to see and fun to watch. And I see that you're you know, regularly also interacting with the FlyQuest players too. Let me go back a little bit. Sorry, backtrack. You know, what is it like, you know, to interview them? Who is the funniest of them all right now?
Okay, so I obviously think like I'm the most attached to this roster. Back when it was like the Vikla roster, I became like pretty good friends with Prince and Spiga slightly, but I didn't really get to talk to them too much. Whereas like this roster, obviously because it's the same roster that they've had since late last year, I've definitely gotten a chance to get a lot closer to them and like to break down their personalities. Bwipo is like very easy to talk to. He's like very kind. I remember during Worlds he would like, you know, ask if I was like hungry or if I was like, you know, in need of like food or stuff. I really appreciated that. Inspired is super sassy, a lot of attitude, but it's like funny, you know. He's like my annoying little brother. Quad is super, super sweet. I think when he first debuted, he was definitely on the more shy side, but he's been working on his English. He's super talkative, actually, really funny. Yeah, he's like overall like such a kind person to be around. Masu, a little quiet, super like funny and snarky once you get to know him though.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's a super sweet kid. And Busio's, you're very much like golden retriever, very social, very easy to talk to, you know. But yeah, I think they like all form such a healthy like group. And for the funniest, I think like Masu is actually really, really funny.
No way. I also
think, yeah, it's either Masu or Quad for like the funniest, in my opinion.
Wow. You know, I've always pictured Masu to be more on the reserve, you know, kind of like
stoic. Cool, yeah. But he's just the funny guy.
the boys are doing great. I know they had a letdown. Do you get to see their ups and downs too?
Oh, yeah. So I remember it was probably the worst at Worlds, you know? Like, when... Or I don't even know if that's true, actually. But yeah, I get to see them at their highest and their lowest for the most part. And all of them deal with it a little differently. But like, yeah, I definitely do get to witness that.
Awesome. It's crazy awesome to know that, you know, you get to... It's almost like you're part of a family, it sounds like. And that's the culture there of FlyQuest, which I think it's communicated to us as a public when we don't get to see what's in the background. But it seems you can validate and verify, you know, that's how they are. That's how closely they, the whole staff. And are you mainly with the League of Legends? I know, you know, FlyQuest has been trying connected to so many different esports.
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely closer to the League of Legends or like competitive side, aside from obviously like my own stuff, just because I think I provide like obviously a different perspective when it comes to like socials, and I help a lot of our content people. And I'm typically the face of during Worlds. I was the one that was like, hey, this is the charity that we're doing and here's what it's like, you know. But yeah, definitely closer to the League of Legends side for sure.
That's awesome to see, because now we can make that association. We see you. We see you as, you know, one of the spokespeople for FlyQuest. And that brings up a great segue. Like you mentioned, they've done a lot of good around, you know, in their... It's almost like a... What do you call that? They do a lot of work. I don't want to call it charity work, but they do a lot of things that really promote goodness to the world. And now you are... I think spearheading this new project. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you came to be, and you know, how what is the number count right now?
Okay, let me think. What is the number count? I think so. This weekend was 3. Last weekend was 5, I think. And the week before that was I believe was 4 or something. So, like 12, I guess.
Awesome.
So, unless I can't do math, and just don't quote me on that. Oops. But yeah, so I think Cat Quest was formed because of the new objective, Otacon. And so they kind of wanted to like have a cute little spin on it, which was Kotacon. And obviously it makes the most sense to have me be the, you know, the spokesperson for this. So yeah, basically the whole initiative is that for every Otacon taken in a FlyQuest match, they FlyQuest essentially pays the adoption fees for a cat with the Stray Cat Alliance.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people, like, they usually don't end up adopting cats because the fees are a bit high, or, you know, it's like not a good time. But that's why with this initiative, it should help the people who still want to adopt a cat but might not have the funds to currently do so. And yeah, I mean, all I've been really doing is, you know, promoting it. I provided the art that I think has shown up on broadcast, which I think is really cool. Because I remember drawing that super last second and being like, oh god, these look kind of ugly. So I'm glad that everyone likes them. I'm very glad.
Yeah, you're a very talented artist, so I'll tell you
thank
that.
thank you.
And it's awesome, this Cat Quest that's going on. It's really warms my heart to see, kind of like every time we watch the games, there's a counter that comes up. It's like, yes, another cat found a home. So there's a reach, and how long is this Cat Quest going to go on? Is it for the remainder of the year, this split, where...
So you know? I could be wrong, but I believe we are trying to do it as like a whole year initiative. I'm not too sure. We might change things up like during the splits or during events, but I believe it's either a year long thing, or if we stop it, you know, between a split or something, I'm sure we have something new that we'll promote.
So listeners, you know, if you're in the area, if you are, you know, considering, you know, this is a great time to be involved.
True.
Absolutely. Well, Basil, thank you so much for sharing your time, sharing your story with us. I know you got a lot of things going on. Can you tell the listeners, you know, how they can find out more about you? What do you have upcoming, and, you know, anything to shout out to?
Yeah. Thank you guys for, you know, letting me on this. If you want to follow me, I have a Twitter, It's Basil Leaf with two eyes. Twitch is the same thing, maybe with an S, I think. But that's kind of my IGN everywhere. I plan to keep following around the league team if we make it to last stand, which, you know, I'm praying. But even if we don't, I believe the team wants to potentially boot camp there. I'll be following them. You'll be seeing a lot more content with me there, and hopefully for like the rest of the tournaments as well. I have a merch release coming out in March, I believe. It's something I've been working on for a long time, so hopefully you guys like it. And please continue to support FlyQuest. The players really appreciate it, and I do too. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. We do have one question that popped up on social media for you. This is from Cloud Siki. Question is, are you secretly a dog person, and is everything just a cover-up?
Okay, hear me out now. So I actually, one of my friends that I'm really close to, she has two really big dogs. And I think I'm mostly a cat person, but I love big dogs. I think big dogs are the cutest thing ever. But I'm still a cat person.
All right. So you hear it here first. And unequivocally, Basil is not covering up anything. Cats all the way. And people, please continue to support Basil's work, continue to support FlyQuest, continue to be a fan. And thank you so much for all your attention, and continue to, you know, share this with everyone you know. And have a wonderful day for you. Thank you so much for joining in.
Thank you so much.